you have some friends that knew you before you got saved, and now you got saved, and now you want to be all Jesus, and like, what happened with this guy or lady? It's like, just be normal. And you're trying to press into and show them Jesus, but sometimes it's just awkward and difficult. And we start to see that it's more difficult to shine our light there. But for me personally, and maybe for you it's a different experience, but for me personally, the hardest area to shine my light is sometimes in my own household. When it comes to my mom and my dad and my siblings. And I've wondered for years why. I think there might be a sense of familiarity. There might be a sense that they knew me in my school years. I don't know what to call the BC days, before Christ days. They knew me as that Henry, and now I'm this Henry, and the transition that's happened, and now, once again, you want to be all Jesus in the family. And sometimes I've found that in families that the mom and the dad or the siblings don't know Jesus, so it just feels sometimes like a hostile environment, that as you want to be kind, there's sometimes not kindness, or there's a sense of that even in some families there's hostility, and it's like the light and darkness of is very confrontational in that setting. And I think that is why this evening I want to speak about honoring your father and your mother, because I do believe for some of us, we will be going back home to our moms, to our dads, back home, and for some of us it's actually quite a fearful thing. That Stellenbosch is your comfort zone. It is the place where you find rest. It's where your family is. That's the place where you shine Jesus. But when you go home, there is a sense like, oh, what am I going back into? For some of us, you might be going into a lot of difficult circumstances. You might be going to actually a sense of abuse or verbal abuse or things happening at home that you are dealing with. And then we are called by God in the commandments to honor our father and our mother. And we're like, but how does this work? And many of us, can I hear an amen? How does that look? For us to understand this, we actually need to know what the word honor means. Honor means to place value on someone. It speaks about respect. And as I also looked up the word, which was quite interesting, it speaks about a recognition or recognizing a specific status or role that that individual plays, almost like a sense of authority that they stand in, and that is honoring that person. But before I jump into this, just a little bit of a disclaimer. As I prepared for this message, I headed in the direction of it's going to be an easy message. We're going home almost for many of us that are students here, and that as we're going home, I wanted to, and I still trust that there is going to be encouragement taking place, but I wanted to like really encourage you guys to be the light of the world, serving your family, honoring them, going for it, and like, woohoo, kumbaya for Jesus at home. But as I was preparing, there just came a great heaviness on me. Because the reality of what we are busy dealing with here, and just even looking at the character of God and the nature of God and the ways of God and looking at the world around us, I just started to realize that what I'm about to bring is so contrary to the natural river of this world. And I think for some of us, you're going to have an experience throughout this message that you're going to be like Jacob. And Jacob was a man that wrestled with God. Not that Jacob. He's also going to wrestle probably somewhere with God. And that's why he glows in the dark. But Jacob wrestled with God. And he took hold of God and he wrestled throughout the night. And I think for some of us, there's a wrestling going to happen, because it's going to be that this is the way that I've always known to treat my parents. So this is the way that I've always known to how authority works. But now it's a little bit, I'm confronted with the character of God. I'm confronted with the ways of God. I'm confronted with my own reality and my own heart. I'm confronted with hurt of the past. And now I need to be obedient towards God. But now I'm confronted with unforgiveness or bitterness. And how do we put these two together? And even for some of us, you might have grown up with great parents. And I want to say, praise Jesus. Like really, praise Jesus that you grew up with amazing parents that loves Jesus and that raised you in the ways of God. But I want to say God is better. You might have a good father and a good mother, but God is even better. And might this encourage you even more that the ways of God is even greater than your experience on the earth. And that even for some of us, you might have a good father, but not a father that's that involved. I want to say God is good, but he's also involved. Amen. So I want to look at the importance of just this topic and why God deems it important and just the patterns of God that we see in the Bible. I want to look at, for us sitting here, just our responsibility towards as children before our mom and dad and our siblings and those around us. And even for some of us that are parents already, I trust that this would be a great encouragement to you to stepping into what God has called you, because I want to focus a little bit in this message on our roles as parents and how we need to train up our children in the ways of Christ. And even for some of you that are married and looking in the years to come, and for many of us that will be married one day to be parents, I want you to see the pattern of God, because in the Bible there's a clear pattern in Scripture that speaks about what you sow, you will reap. So if you sow honor and you sow a way of living, you will already start to position yourself in a place where you are an example to your children one day. So you can now already position yourself to leave a legacy of honor and say, children, look at the way that I honor my mom and my dad, because that is the way that I would love you to honor me. And so we can position ourselves in that. Amen. So why is this important? This is important, this commandment is important, because it is included in the Ten Commandments. There is 613 laws, and then there is 10 commandments. This is the fifth commandment of the 10, and God deemed it so important to include it in his top 10 instructions to us. Not only to include it in that, but that he took the time to handwrite it on tablets of stone and to bring it to the world and say, this is my 10 commandments that I want to give you. That's quite a big deal. We do also find that throughout the Bible, that when it comes to family and family roles and a mom and a dad and children and just the family dynamic, all the way from Genesis through, the Bible places a lot of emphasis on family. And that is why we should take note of that and not just put it to the side, but what the Bible deems as important and wants to bring and highlight for us, we should say, okay, let me take note of this. But even more for me, a highlight why this is important and why I see it as important from God's side is because it is a commandment from God and an instruction from God. And to emphasize how important this is to God, we actually need to look at the severity of the consequences of not upholding that law. So let's look at that. Just the next chapter of the chapter 20, speaking still about the Ten Commandments, Exodus 21:17, it says the following: not honoring, but now whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. Proverbs 20, verse 20, says the following: if one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. And as I read this, I was like, Genade, Jesus, like, whoa, like, stopilori. It's like, how did we get from not honoring your father and mother to a place of corporal punishment and you will die? And it just puts a little bit of a extra edge on when we read stories like the prodigal son and how the younger son and the older son, how they actually treated their father and wished that he was dead. And then what happened, and as the son came back, I would have imagined the society or the people around him was waiting for with stones, ready to kill that son because of this law. Zealous for the things of God and say, your younger son dishonored you. We're going to stand up for your honor as the father, and we're going to wait for him with bricks. And then the father picked up his robe And he started to run. Before they could stone that son, he ran and he ran and he ran. And I will disgrace myself so that he will be honored and he will be accepted and he will be. So it just puts that little bit of the grace of God, what that child deserved, and even more, the other son. We find in Timothy, Paul writes to young Timothy, and he writes actually like a prophetic image to him, not just writing to him, but writing through the generations to the last days, meaning where we are currently in. And he speaks about the end times. And he says the following about an end time generation, meaning the generation that we are currently living in before Jesus returns. And he says the following: understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. Put that on a t-shirt. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud and arrogant, abusive and disobedient to their parents, ungrateful and unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control. They will be brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying the power. Avoid such people. And when we read that, it is such a pessimistic list. Like, goeie genade, Paul, where are you on about? Just like this thing, and they will be brutal and slanderous, and they would just be consumed with themselves. And then in the middle of that, they will disobey their parents. The mark of an end-time generation is that the authority of parents is diminished, and a generation will arise that will take their finger and say, you are not in control anymore. I am. And they would love themselves, and they would go against the authority even of parents, and it would not be honor, but it would be cursing and turning away from the ways of God. So it is quite severe that we find that even this little sin is included with all these big sins. Might I present to you that I think the society around us has taken the things and the ways of God, making it very small, where in God's eyes it's actually such a massive thing, because we are not just coming against our parents in a, I don't know, in just a way that doesn't please God, but we're actually coming against the very ways of the Lord. So let's look at God's pattern, and I want to go to the positive here, and this is more for the parents, and just to see the beauty of the family and what God intended the family to be. Are you guys still with me? Still okay? Okay. Not going over your heads, and you look like a, you guys are smart, eh? You guys are studying hard and working hard and all of those like a dinga. So, if we look at the Ten Commandments, we find that it's actually broken up into two different categories. The first four refers to our relationship with God. It refers to loving God, to not take his name in vain, to not have other gods or idols or images or statues above him. It speaks about our relationship with him. And then when it comes to the other six, it refers to relationship from us to people. Not to steal, not to covet, not to murder, and that we should actually be those. And that's why Jesus said in the New Testament that the whole law is summarized in love God, love people. First four, second six. But then we find in the middle, almost wedged between the divine, between God and between people, God puts this fifth commandment very strategically in the middle to say, honor your father and your mother. Almost like God wants to teach us a lesson here that our faith with God is a central component that needs to be placed in the middle of a family, that the outflow of that can be to other people. Strategically placed, that a family has a role in society, a godly family and a God-fearing family has a place in a society to be the primary means of discipleship, to flow through and to love other people and to display the ways of the kingdom. We find this in Ephesians 6. Once again, this commandment that Paul writes, and he says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. So if you want to live long, do this commandment, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And Ephesians 6 is chapter 6 that just followed chapter 5, okay? Not rocket science. If we go to chapter 5, the Bible says that you should not get drunk with wine, but you should be filled with the Holy Spirit. You should be a Spirit-filled person. And now that you are a Spirit-filled person, under submission under God, having a living relationship with Him, He goes into, and this is how the family should look. He goes into things such as husbands and wives, submit to one another. Now that you love Jesus, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. He goes into husbands, you need to love your wives as Christ has loved the church, and you should lay down your life. And he speaks about this family dynamic of a love relationship and laying down their life. And then he extends that and he says, children, obey your parents, honor them, be obedient to them. And then again, just you can go read it, just after chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, just verse 4, he instructs the fathers again. Fathers. And then he goes into how fathers should not, in a sense, rile up their children or make them angry, but actually should be actually an example to them. And it's so amazing that a spiritful believer flows into a spiritful household, and that's where discipleship happens. And what is the responsibility of the parents? I'm going somewhere with this. We're going to get to you guys and myself now. Deuteronomy 6 verse 7 says the following. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And them, it means the laws, the ways of God. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. I love this. It just speaks about in the going, as you are sitting at the house, drinking a coffee, as you're walking by, you're speaking about the... I almost said the birds and the bees, that as well. But the birds and the bees, that's all from God, and it's the ways of the Lord. But you teach it to them on your way, that there's an intentionality that you are imparting the ways of God to your children. We also find in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And yes, it is a proverb, and everybody has free will and can still depart. But there's something that as parents in the household, there's something of, in the beginning days, as you raise up a child, there is intentionality and there's love. It's not just we instruct them the ways of God, or we just tell them this is what God says. It's teaching and it's training. That takes deliberate action. It's almost like you take a child like a bowling ball, and you're like, I want to hit a strike, and I have one shot at this, and I'm going to bowl the child down the alley of life. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to instruct him in the ways of God. And the more you instruct, and the more you teach, it's almost like railings coming up. And that's what I read with that I will instruct them, and as they go, they will move towards following Christ, loving the Lord, getting to know Him, being saved, having a living relationship with them, entering into a godly marriage themselves, raising their children in the ways of the Lord. And that's the primary means of discipleship, actually, that what God intended was to happen firstly and primarily in the household, not through the elders. Amen. It's not my responsibility when you one day get married and you have children to tune you about that. And I'm just going to bring him to Henry to teach him the gospel. No. In the way you conduct yourself, in the way you treat your children, in the way you are the primary means one day for your children. Okay, Henry, but why are we speaking about that now? I'm not there yet. I'm still very single. Put it in your back pocket. Laminate that piece of paper, that A5 that you're writing on. You will need it. So for us, and I even want to change my tone of voice here, because now I want to cry. I think for some of us, even what I'm saying is like, okay, cool, Henry, but I didn't have that. I didn't grow up with a mom or a dad that knew the ways of God. I didn't grow up being even loved that much or taken note of. And even for some of us, and this is where it gets difficult for some of us, to ask the question, and I wrote it down here, how do I honor a father or mother that's not honorable? How do I respect a mom or a dad that is not respectable in the way that they conduct themselves? And for some of us, this is so difficult, even what I'm saying. And now you're saying, Henry, you don't know what I'm going through. And I want to say, I don't. Some of you I do, actually. But for many of you, I don't. I don't know what's happening home. I don't know how your parents are treating you. But I want to say, you also don't know what I went through. You didn't know what I saw through a divorce and just the anger and my parents not knowing the Lord. And I have incredible parents, but life is life. And sin is sin. And this world is this world. And it causes a lot of brokenness and hurt. And I want to dive into this to ask the question, now, what is my obligation? And this is where the wrestling is going to start, because we're going to wrestle with reality, and we're going to wrestle with my responsibility, and we're going to wrestle with hurt and unforgiveness and bitterness, and we're even going to wrestle going back in a week or two and needing to face the same thing again. But I need to honor God by preaching His word. And I trust that there would be a glimmer of hope as we see the heart of Christ through this. Amen. And this is not just towards your earthly parents. I think this is with authority. This world teaches us to, before a person in authority open their mouth, to distrust. Immediately put up the walls. When somebody pulls us off the road, a traffic cop, don't you get that feeling? It's just embedded in us. Oh, what is he going to say now? Is he going to try to this and this and this? And something in us just wants to oppose authority, come against it. And it's the spirit of the world. It's not the spirit of God. So let's read what God has to say about authority and try to navigate our hearts through the scripture and trust that through this I don't lose some of you. Romans 14 Verse 12 to 13, let's start here. So then each of us, that refers to you and me, each of us, will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. The Bible says that every single one of us, in many, many, many scriptures, will need to stand before God. That you need to walk out, this is a scripture, you need to walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That on that last day, every single one of us will give an account for our lives, for accepting Christ or not accepting Christ, for following Christ in our deeds, in our speech, in our actions. If we lay down our lives for Him, we presented ourselves as a living sacrifice, everyone will need to give an account for themselves. I will not be able to stand before the Lord for your life, and you will not be able to stand before the Lord for my life. That every single one of us is in a very unique position through your friends and circumstances and family to be faithful to Christ where God has deemed you important and placed you. Likewise, your parents will need to give an account for the areas of influence that God has given them. You will not stand before the Lord for them. They will. For how good or not that good they have stewarded what God has given them. Being a believer or unbeliever, everyone will be judged. So we cannot judge. We can only stand before the Lord for what the Lord has given us. To deem faithful us. And yes, those that have been given authority will be judged with greater strictness because there's a sense of influence that you have. It says in the Bible that those that you shouldn't be hasty or be somebody that wants to be a teacher, because teachers will be judged with greater strictness. Even for what I'm sharing this evening, I'm training you, or trying to train you in the ways of God. But if I do it out of a selfish place to just make you like me, or put fame on myself and glory on me and how good an elder I am, then I will be judged for that with greater strictness, because I would be taking the glory for myself and not teaching the word of God. And every single one of you have been given influence and have been given a space in time to give an account for. Does that make sense? So, level two, Romans 13:1 says the following. Let every person be subjected to the governing authorities. It does speak about the governing authorities at this stage. For us, it is the ANC that rules this country, and we actually need to be those that are subjected to them. Can I hear amen? Amen. Woo! Love you, ANC. We honor you. That's what the Bible says. Do you honor the ANC? Do you give value to them? Do you give respect to them? And do you respect the position that they hold in this country? But even more than that, there's other governing authorities over you. Your parents. There's authorities when it comes to in your race, in your department, your boss one day. There will be governing authorities over us. And why do we need to subject ourselves to them? Good question. Second sentence. For there is no authority, very strong language here, there is no authority except from God. And those that exist has been instituted by God. Therefore, ever resist the authorities, resist what God has appointed. Every authority has been given by God, good or bad, has been instituted. Sometimes they are used for honorable use and sometimes dishonorable use in the Lord's hands. But they can decide. But authority is freely given, and free will is there to use it for God's glory or for man's sinfulness. When it comes to President Trump that rules the world, and a little bit underneath him, as we saw the debates in this week, our president that got tuned by America, and then through down there, the police, but to our own household, there's been authority given to our parents, and they will need to stand an account, but we need to be subjected under that. And maybe to make a little bit of sense of this, looking at the word honor again, and how we should position ourselves, and I'm going to transition now into the place, okay, but where does that leave us? I think for us, honoring somebody that is not honorable or respecting somebody that's not respectable, we need to be able to see the ways of God. And the ways of God is this, that sometimes we honor the role that they play. Honor also means that they have a certain, let me go back to that, otherwise I'm going to mess this up. So you recognize a specific status or role that that person play, that is honor, okay? So if you recognize the specific role that your parents play in your life, and you see that they have authority and you need to be subjected to them, you honor the role that they are holding, because that role, that authority that they have is from God. How do we honor them? We honor that role or that governing place that they have by respecting and valuing the person. And as we're respecting and valuing the person, we're honoring our Father in heaven. Let me say that again. Your mom and your dad has been given by God authority to be over you. And we need to honor that position that they fulfill. So for us to be able to honor that, we need to give ourselves to serving them, to as much as possible be kind to them, be gentle to them, be loving to them, to respect them, lay down our life for them as Christ has laid down our life for us. And by doing so, you honor your Father in heaven. And that is difficult for some of us, because Henry, you really don't know. I want to say, I think I do. For many of us, I do. And we need to wrestle through with this. What does this mean for us? And I think for some of us, we need to wrestle through with this with God to say, my mom and dad will need to give an account for their own life, but for me, what am I going to do? And I want to say, when it comes to subjecting ourselves to governing authorities, not just our mom and dad, I want to say, recognize what is the highest authority. Meaning that if a higher authority expects of you to do something that is not God's will always triumphs over their voice. If somebody commands you, said you must sin, or you will get drunk now, or you will do something contrary to God's word, you will not be disobeying God if you're saying no. You will not be dishonoring your mom or dad when you say no in that place, because ultimately there's a higher authority in God above what they're saying now. I will never sin against my God. Whatever you're saying I need to do now, I will not sin against my God. So just to put that in perspective. So what is our role? 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 4, says the following. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayer, and intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And then it goes a little bit specific, and it says in verse 2, for kings and all who are in high positions. The way that we honor our mom and our dad is by, first of all, are you praying for them? Are you positioning yourself behind closed doors and you're praying for your mom and your dad? Are you praying for their salvation? Are you praying for goodness over their life? Because just, we're going to read further now, because God desires your mom and dad to get saved. Throughout my life, there's, and I can tell you a lot of stories of a lot of hurt and pain because our whole family didn't know Jesus. But then I was the first one to get saved in my family without any one of my siblings. My siblings are not saved at all still. My dad and stepmom got saved. My mom is not saved yet. Love you, Mom, if you listen to this. But that's the reality. And throughout all of that, there's a lot of hurt that takes place when people don't know Jesus, especially from me. And there's hurt and things happening there. And when you get saved, God desires every one of them to get saved. So do we start praying? Do we start interceding? Do we start to give ourselves before God and say, God, would you step into this situation? Because God desires them to get saved. But the other thing it says there is thanksgiving. Are you giving thanks before God for your mom and your dad? And you're like, whoa, Henry, I can still pray for their salvation, but thanks. That's already pushing it. And I want to say for some of us, and I want to be honest, that I think for some of us, it would be difficult for some of us, not all of us, for some of us to find things that's good. Because of a lot of bitterness and hurt, that's the lens that you see it through. I want to say you can thank the Lord for your mom and dad, even just for the very physical act to get you into this life, so that you can get saved and be a light to the world. If that's the only thing you can be thankful for your life. Amen. Through your mother and your father. And thank the Lord for that, that you have now the privilege to be a born-again believer, spirit-filled, to honor your mother and father by shining the light of glory in that household. Amen? You guys still all right? It goes on to say that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Godly and dignified. Is that the summary of your behavior at home? Godly and dignified at home. And I think for some of us, it says peaceful and quiet life. Sometimes it is quite quiet at home because of the clash between light and darkness. It's awkward. We don't know what to speak about. It's just, I want to say it's not necessarily bad. sometimes just you not speaking up in the sense of retaliation is a godly act before the Lord. Turning the other cheek, praying, interceding, not Bible bashing and say, you must be better, but really trusting for their hearts. Titus 3, verse 1 to 7, only going to focus on, this is the last scripture, then we're going to finish off. Verse 1 and 2, and I would love to encourage you to go read all the way through to verse number 7. It's just, it's an incredible portion of scripture. But it says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. And once again, it's in the context of rulers and authorities, people over us. Just highlight some words here. Are you ready for good works at home? I remember when I got saved, I was really unsaved. Like, there's people that's like a little bit unsaved, and then there's like really unsaved people. And I remember my first night, I was saved about 2 weeks by then, and I walked into a youth group, and there was some people of our school there, and they like, they didn't know I was saved, and they're like, if this guy gets saved tonight, we know there's a God. I'm like, there's a God. And so I was really unsaved. And then I got saved, and I started to devour the scriptures, and I started to read the Ten Commandments and meditate on it, and I need to honor my mom and my dad, and it was difficult, because there was hurt, and there was rejection, and there was issues, and there's just stuff. So I started with basic things, like my love language, all the love language peeps here. So my love language is acts of service. That's last on the list for Brigitta. You see our love life. It's like, I need to work very hard to show my love to her. But I'm an acts of service type guy. So I just started to, out of my own, when my parents are not there, I started to wash the dishes. That's like my thing. If they're not there, I'll wash the dishes. And I never washed the dishes. And I just washed the dishes and I served them. At that time, I went to Bible school, and there's a weird culture in Bible school and in Stellenbosch that people love coffee. And my parents was always like the just instant coffee type people. And then we started to drink real coffee. I'm just joking. Not joking. And so we started to do plunger coffee and things like that. And I'm like, I want to bless them. So I bought coffee, and then like, most days, I would bring them coffee in bed, or especially weekends. And I just wanted to serve them, and I wanted to honor them, and I wouldn't retaliate, and I would turn the other cheek. And then times when I would, like, I'm not a very aggressive type guy, so Brigitta has never heard me shout in the last 11 years and 10 years as we've been together. I don't shout. I'm like the passive-aggressive type guy. I just avoid you for life. So that type of thing. So, but something in me is like, I can't do that anymore, because just because it's passive aggressive doesn't mean it's not aggressive. Doesn't mean it's not ungodly behavior. So I will engage. I will say sorry first, because Christ was the first one to take the initiative, and I will be the first one to take the initiative. And how do we train our children in the ways of God? We say sorry first. There's a freebie out there. For Lorenda. Okay. Really? I tell a lot of these, I've told it to a couple of these young guys. I say, if your prayer life doesn't go regularly before the Lord, God, this is unfair, then you're not doing it right. Your prayer in the marriage should regularly be, God, this is unfair. Why do I always need to? No. Because we're not reflecting ourselves. We're reflecting Christ. So it is with us as children in the household. We take the first initiative to serve, to say sorry, to turn the other cheek, no matter how difficult it is. And that is the ways of Christ. It goes on to say, speak evil of no one. What goes on in your speech? And maybe, and I don't want to put it on, this can be guys as well, but especially ladies. When it comes to your relationship, specifically with your mother, how's your speech? And I know it's difficult. I know for some of us, when it comes to our relationship with our mothers, it's just a constant Ah. And she knows how to push every button to get that out of me. Maybe she does, but it means it's still in you. It's coming out, so it's still in there, that ungodly behavior. And everything in you, the world wants to poke you. And I just, that poking of the world when Jesus was on that cross, that mocking of the world. Come on, let's just leave him there. Let's just see if he's really the Son of God, and the angels will probably come and take him off if he's really. And sometimes that would even be the feeling that you feel in your own family. If you're really so godly, if you're really so serving God, and then they poke and they poke and they, and then something else come out and you feel condemned and like, just repent, try again. Fail forward. There's grace upon grace, but I want to highlight that. Are you gentle to avoid quarreling? Are you avoiding quarreling and all of these things? Amen.